The Star Wars Holiday Special is brought to you by
Jet's Toy Hunt.
This holiday is yours, but we all share with you the hope that this day brings us closer to freedom and to harmony and to peace. No matter how different we appear, we're all the same in our struggle against the powers of evil and darkness. I hope that this day will always be a day of joy in which we can reconfirm our dedication and our courage, and more than anything else, our love for one another. This is the promise of the Tree of Life. A day that takes us through the dark.
It's your sand packs.
A day that leads us into the
largest selection on Amazon.
A day that makes us want to celebrate the night.
Ship to every country in the world.
Naughty child gets wolf for babysitter. I'm Kevin Leeson.
9 out of 10 wolves prefer French cuisine. I'm Torrin Atkinson.
Werewolf? Here, wolf. I'm Joe Foljam, and this is Caustic Soda.
Welcome to Caustic Soda. Our topic today is wolf attack.
Ow!
Ow! Ow!
Death by wolf. The word origin of wolf comes from pre-Germanic wolfas, from pre-Indo-European wolkswas, or possibly lukwos.
Okay.
And of course, Greek is lycos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lycanthrope. Yeah. And Latin is lupus.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
It's all coming together for you.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Do you guys know what the fear of dogs or rabies is?
Lupophobia.
Or lycanthrophobia or canophobia, something along those lines.
It's close to canophobia. It's actually cynophobia.
Cynophobia.
C-Y-N-O.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, S-I-N-O is fear of Chinese people, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, different. Different spelling.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic scientific facts about wolves are as follows.
Mm-hmm.
Gray wolves are the largest living wolf. The heaviest recorded was killed in the Ukraine and weighed 190 pounds.
What? Good God.
It's a pretty heavy wolf.
That's a big wolf.
It's more than 10 of my dog.
Lifespan up to 13 years in the wild, but the average is about 6 to 8.
Okay.
They have 42 teeth. The average litter size, 4 to 6 cubs.
Okay.
Color varies from gray, tan, and brown to pure white or black.
Yeah.
Pack size, take a guess.
15.
I'd say about 8.
As little as 2 or as many as 30, average size 6 to 8.
Bam!
But I hit 15 right in the middle, between 2 and 30.
Habitat, North America, Europe, and Asia.
Yep.
Territory range. In the Alaskan or Canadian wilderness, the territory for one pack ranges from 300 to 1,000 square miles.
Yeah, because there's a lot of miles up there to cover.
While in the continental U.S., the territory is between 25 and 150 square miles.
Yeah.
So this is why your dog likes to take walks. Because yes. They're used to, like, way, way, way back when they were actually wolves, they were used to ranging around over large areas.
Covering a lot of territory looking for ptarmigans.
Ptarmigans.
I'm going to have to find a wave file of what a ptarmigan sounds like.
No, it's PT. Yeah. PTAR. Ptarmigan.
Oh.
Don't you know how to spell ptarmigan?
I don't even know what a ptarmigan is. I'm
what?
No.
It's you should Google image that stuff. We're going to have to put a picture of a ptarmigan up on causticsodapodcast.com for all of our listeners.
There are multiple ptarmigans. There's the rock ptarmigan. There's the willow ptarmigan, the white-tailed ptarmigan. You're going to have to get specific, Kevin.
I was talking the Arctic. I was going Arctic.
We only do precise jokes here, man.
Wolves tend to avoid hunting in the fringes of their territory unless desperate due to the possibility of fatal encounters with neighboring packs.
Right.
Very territorial.
Uh-huh.
But that's where all the hot wolf girls are from, though.
Yeah.
You know, you get all bored of the wolf girls you grew up with. They're probably related to you.
Yeah, you go hang out at the 7-Eleven by their school. Might get in a fight, but then again, you're also that guy that, you know, you're kind of fresh meat, right?
You go hang out with the sexy bitches.
Yeah.
Literally bitches.
Literally fresh meat as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because territorial fights are among the principal causes of wolf mortality. 91% of wolf fatalities occur within 2 miles of territory borders.
Is that where the term, like when you wolf something down, is that where that comes from?
No. I'll tell you where that comes from. Have you ever seen a dog eat? My dog,
it's like
will,
there's no tomorrow.
It's yeah, it really is. Like there's no enjoyment of the food.
Hey.
It's just get this in my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of diet, the diet of choice is deer, moose, caribou, elk, bison, musk ox, and beaver.
That would be my diet of choice too. Yeah. I think, you know, if I had that choice,
I'd take a steak at each of one of those in one sitting.
All of the wolf's main prey can outrun it, with the possible exception of the beaver. I'm not sure about that.
Outswim it, for sure. Yeah.
So wolves use cooperation and cunning to catch their prey.
Right. Mm. They herd them into areas where they can take advantage.
Wolves hunt as a pack and respond to signals from the dominant member. They either take turns chasing the prey to tire it, or they split up and chase it into an ambush.
Yep.
Speed as fast as 35 miles per hour for short distances.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And of course we know about the sex lock. As I call it.
Whoa.
The who's
the what?
When dogs are mating.
Wolves.
When wolves are mating, the pair is locked into a copulatory tie, which may last 5 to 36 minutes.
Wow.
Because the penis actually swells up once it's inside.
What?
And they can't disengage until.
You started off talking about this and saying, of course, and I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of this either.
Well, you guys are uneducated boobs.
Apparently.
Wow. So hold on a sec. Let me get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
The wolf embraces when two wolves love each other very much.
Yes, when they care for each
mommy
other,
wolf and
they have
daddy
a special
wolf.
Hug,
yeah,
which they cannot disengage from for 5 to 36 minutes.
So this is like the wolf version of finger cuffs.
It's genital cuffs.
Yeah, but with their genitals.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Now let's go back in time to the dire wolf.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
I used to ride a dire wolf in Dungeons & Dragons, man.
Are dire wolves real things, or are they just Dungeons & Dragons inventions?
They're named the same thing.
Okay.
But they're different. Dire wolves were the most common in North America and South America from the Irvingtonian stage to the Rancho Librian stage of the Pleistocene epoch.
I went on vacation to Rancho Librian one time. It was awesome.
Existing for approximately 1.8 million years, and approximately 10,000 years ago, the dire wolf became extinct along with most other North American megafauna.
So it was a super big wolf?
Well,
it was like a dinosaur wolf?
As megafauna go, this was not the most mega of the fauna.
Okay.
It is larger than the gray wolf, averaging about 5 feet in length and weighing on average between 110 and 170 pounds.
Oh, okay. So it was kind of just a slightly bigger.
It was a
than
slightly the larger wolf than today's wolves.
All right. Mega shark is cooler than the mega wolf.
Yeah, if it was mega shark versus dire wolf, mega shark would probably
be. Let me find average size for the timber wolf. Wolves weighing over 54 kilograms, 120 pounds, are uncommon.
It was like 50%. The dire wolf was like 50% bigger than the modern wolf.
If that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move from 10,000 years ago.
Okay.
Let's.
To the year 1450.
Still no video games.
Quite
still
a jump.
Not happy. Can we move forward a little bit? Well, okay.
Okay,
as long as we get forward to video games, I'm good. Let's talk
all right
about this now.
Okay.
And some notable wolf attacks on peoples.
All right.
First one I've got is the Wolves of Paris.
Mm-hmm.
A man-eating wolf pack that entered Paris during the winter of 1450 through breaches in the city walls, killing 40 people.
What?
Wow.
That is crazy. 40 people.
Yeah, during one winter. A wolf named Courtade, or Bobtail, was the leader of the pack. Eventually, the wolves were killed when Parisians, furious at the deaths, lured Courtade and his pack into the heart of the city, where they were stoned and speared to death.
Oh, look at that. Wolves being lured into an ambush, yeah. Hoisted on their own wolf tard.
Wolf tard.
That's shocking that 40 Parisians could be taken by a pack of wolves.
That is one of the higher death tolls.
And it's a relatively modern era. I mean, we're talking 1450. I mean, they had muskets by then, right?
So they might have had some.
Yeah, but they certainly weren't widespread enough for every Tom, Dick, and Harry to have an anti-wolf firearm. Who thought you would have needed one? I guess the city walls actually served more than keeping humans out.
If only they didn't have that wolf-sized hole in their wall. All this could have been avoided.
Yeah, in like Wile E. Coyote fashion, it was like a perfect shape of their body, right? Like a total outline.
The French musketeers were created in 1622, so over 150 years later.
So then that gives you an indication that they didn't have muskets on every corner, for sure.
But then moving to 1685,
Okay. The
Wolf of Ansbach, a man-eating wolf that attacked and killed an unknown number of people, mostly women and children, if not entirely women and children, in Bavaria in 1685, which was then a part of the Holy Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
The citizens of Ansbach believed the animal to be a werewolf, a reincarnation of their late and cruel mayor whose recent death had gone unlamented.
Oh, no, well, because he was cruel and nobody cared whether he died or not. And so he came back as a revenge wolf.
This is such a wonderful post hoc rationalization.
Yeah, no kidding.
This evil wolf showed up and a little while ago our evil mayor died.
We had a bit of a dick of a mayor. Yeah.
During a hunt, the locals succeeded in chasing it down with dogs until it leapt in an uncovered well. Trapped, the wolf was slain. And here's the good part. Its carcass was paraded through the city marketplace. It was dressed in a man's clothing, and they severed its muzzle. The crowd placed a mask, wig, and beard upon its head, giving it the appearance of the former burgomeister.
Okay.
So they dressed it up as their dead mayor.
As their dead mayor, yeah.
Like the old, we know who you are. Well, you're not fooling us.
I'm gonna give him some credit here.
Yeah.
If you do actually think that it's the evil spirit of your evil mayor coming back,
yeah,
this is a good way to go. Fuck you, buddy.
Yeah.
Don't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Look at the embarrassment we're doing. Like, they probably dress it up in a woman's clothing later, and we're like, look at, we're making a dance now. You better not come back as a pig and attack us.
Stop punching yourself in the muzzle.
Stop muzzling yourself.
Yeah.
That's why they cut its muzzle off so it could, like, bite at its own flesh.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you eating yourself?
It is pretty awesome that they took, like, the superstition part of it and kind of went the extra mile. You know?
This is extreme burgermeister.
Yeah.
If you're going to be crazy, you might as well go whole hog.
Although, you know what it sounds like? I mean, if you have a burgermeister, it sounds like the barbecue at his place must have been awesome.
Yeah.
You are the true burgermeister. The wolf's body was then hanged from a gibbet for all to see until it underwent preservation for permanent display at a local museum. Now, I don't know if this is still on display at any museums, but if so, that would be cool.
Yeah, I wonder if they sewed the muzzle back on for permanent display in the museum.
Like taxidermied.
Or if they display it not as a wolf, but as the burgermeister. They display it in its, like, in its effigy form.
That's right.
That would be pretty dope.
Then we go to 1765, the Wolf of Soissons.
I mean, this must be like these attack wolves must be those circumstances where they're just, you know, for some reason or whatever in the wild, their, you know, habitual prey is scarce or something.
Yeah.
So it's like then they start going after women and children and people.
That is typically how it happens.
Yeah. But like the fact that these wolves are actually going to these heavily populated areas, like even in the medieval era, Paris, you know, you'd think wolves would have shied away from this bustling hive of activity.
Yeah. Yeah, they basically had to go there because they had no other option.
They, like, flattened their, you know, their traditional hunting land to put in, like, a champagne field or something.
A champagne field.
Yeah, like grapes.
Little bottles of champagne growing.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah.
On the champagne trees. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, champagne grows on bushes, Joe. If you knew anything.
So, 1765, the Wolf of Soissons terrorized the commune of Soissons, northeast of Paris, over a period of 2 days. Attacking 18 people, 4 of whom died from their wounds. But this is remarkable. I've included this because some of them are very gory and horrible.
Now, was this a pack or was this one wolf?
One wolf.
One wolf attacked 18 people?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's mental. Over 2 days.
Yeah.
It was pretty much a nonstop wolf-a-thon.
Wolf-a-thon. The first victims of the wolf were a pregnant woman and her unborn child.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So locals had taken the 5-month-old fetus from the womb to be baptized before it died.
Oh,
so
nice. That's disgusting.
So
couldn't they just sprinkle some holy water on her belly, for God's sakes? Like, do they have to take the fetus out?
So the woman died.
Yeah, presumably, yes.
Yes.
And they went, oh my goodness, get that baby out and baptize it.
Otherwise, that's it's right. going to go to hell.
Otherwise, it's going to go to
hell. Or at least purgatory.
Do you know anything about Catholicism, original sin, all the rest of that stuff?
But just seeing it this way, it's just even crazier.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to begin with, but this is totally mental.
Yeah.
How dare you? I'm being facetious.
Yeah. This is like Charles Manson-esque in its, you know, defiling of a fetus.
The wolf attacked again that very night, not 300 yards from the scene of the first attack that same night. One Madame Demberieff and her son survived only by fighting together. The next day, a man was attacked by the wolf and survived with head wounds.
You know, I almost heard that only by fighting together is fighting each other. The wolf is attacking. Quick, hit me so it'll think we're already in a fight.
Oh, I don't want to get involved in domestic disputes.
I'm not going to get in between a domestic situation. He's like cops from the 50s.
Mm. The new show from Fox, Wolves.
Say let them sort themselves out.
Yeah.
Did I say wolves?
You did.
I'm such an idiot.
The next victim were two young boys attacked on the road to Paris, both badly wounded. A farmer on horseback lost part of his face to the wolf before escaping to a local mill where a 17-year-old boy was caught unaware and slain.
Lost part of his face. I want to know which part.
Has anybody seen my face? I part of it's around here somewhere.
Presumably it's not the mouth part because I can hear you talking.
Might be inside that wolf that just ran away.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the nose because it's kind of a proboscis, right? Yeah. Sort of out there. Or an ear, maybe? Maybe ear and cheek?
Ear and cheek.
I got a hold of the ear and took it and took a piece of the cheek with it.
Yeah, I just ripped it right off.
Maybe the mandible. Maybe you got your lower jaw.
I'm going to say the nose
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
My money's on the nose.
Yeah, that's a safe bet.
Dogs like to bite jowls.
After these atrocities, the wolf partially decapitated a woman and severely wounded a girl who ran screaming to the village for help. Four citizens set an ambush at the body of the latest victim. But when the wolf returned, it proved too much for them, and the villagers soon found themselves fighting for their lives.
So they actually set an ambush, and it failed.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often.
This is where the tale of werewolves comes from.
Yeah, no kidding.
You four guys couldn't take on a wolf? Well, it was huge, and it turned into a wolf man.
Yeah. I needed silver bullets, and...
I was all out. I was fresh out.
Yeah.
The arrival of more peasants from the village finally put the wolf to flight, chasing it into a courtyard where it fought with a chained dog. When the chain broke, the wolf was pursued through a pasture where it killed a number of sheep.
Wow.
I'm running away, but while I run, I'm going to kill some sheep.
And into a stable where a servant and cattle were mutilated.
Wow.
A servant and cattle. Oh, this thing is a wrecking machine. Yeah. This thing is unbelievable.
It's almost like it's not attacking them. It just has this field around it that causes damage to things.
Yeah, just this like whirling maw of teeth, right? Like just... It's just
the Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, this like spinning saw blade of razor sharp. Yeah, that's right. It's going through this field full of sheep, and sheep are just like flying away from it, right? This is where this cartoon came from.
Yeah.
The episode ended when a former member of the local militia tracked the wolf to a small lane armed with a pitchfork. The wolf sprang at him, but he managed to pin its head to the ground with the instrument, holding it down for roughly 15 minutes before an armed peasant came to his aid and killed the animal.
Oh, man.
This guy received a reward of 300 livres from Louis the 15th for his bravery, which my understanding of French means he got 300 books.
Yeah.
Presumably on wolves.
This wolf was like the Terminator of wolves. Yeah. Like he just kept on coming. Like every time they had him surrounded, he would like bust out and kill like five more things on the way. This is unbelievable.
Just gets angry. It's like the Hulk. Yeah, just gets angrier and angrier with each time. All I want to do is eat one person.
Yeah.
But apparently it's one weakness is pitchfork to the head or something. Like
that's a fair weakness.
No, pitchfork to the head, but he had to hold it down with a pitchfork
to
his
head. That didn't kill it. Held it in
that
place.
Pilling it down for 15 minutes till somebody else could come by and kill it.
Well, it's because it wasn't a silver pitchfork.
Yeah. The rarest of all pitchforks. Except maybe the gold pitchfork.
He could afford one now that he's got 300 books from
from Livres. The king. Yeah. The king autographed the books, and that's what made them worth all the money.
it's 300 copies of his autobiography signed. Oh, Christ.
You can sell this for a lot of actual money. That was a terrible French accent. I think I will.
There'll be more of that later.
I think I went Spanish or Italian with that. I don't know what
I mean. Wow. This wolf is my hero. I want to put this wolf on my family crest.
They should put it on the coins of France.
Yeah. Or on like the crest of this little town.
And then at about the same time, we come to perhaps the most famous wolf or wolves attacks. Mm-hmm. The Beast of Gévaudan.
These French, they are just getting attacked by wolves.
But most of these stories are friends.
What does that say?
Then a lot of wolves.
That was the direction I thought you would not go. All right. When and where? In the Marguerite Mountains in south-central France from 1764 to 1767.
There was a span of time?
Over an area stretching a 50-square-mile area. The beast or beasts were mm-hmm. consistently described by eyewitnesses as having formidable teeth.
Okay, yeah.
And immense tails.
That's weird.
Their fur had a reddish tinge and was said to have emitted an unbearable odor.
Probably because it's bathed in the blood of babies or something.
Other descriptions included blazing red eyes, walking on hind legs, jumping over high walls.
So werewolf stuff.
Hide repelling lead shot, covering immense distances within hours, taste for blood, etc., etc., etc.
Traveling immense distances in a few hours could be that there were just two of them.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this could be the wolf version of The Ghost in the Darkness, which was a good movie, by the way.
We'll talk about that in our Lions episode.
Yes, absolutely.
They seemed to target people over farm animals. Many times it would attack someone while cattle were in the same field.
What?
Taste that... for human flesh.
No, you know what it is? It's like, okay, if I attack this human,
I can eat all these cattle later.
Yeah. Or it's like, there's very little chance that these cows are going to either stab me with a spear or shoot me with a gun.
Yeah.
But this human, he's got potential. So I'm going to take him out. And I'll have all my cow-eating leisure time after that.
One bishop made a public proclamation that the Beast of Gévaudan was a scourge of God and described special powers given by God as a tool of vengeance.
Wait,
so that
on.
Doesn't help.
The wolf was an instrument of God? Or
yes.
It was like against... Oh, so it was like coming down and killing sinners?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
How does that help? Even if that's even if that's true, knowing that now, how do you use that information to do anything useful?
You stop sinning.
No, you know what you do is...
You
see?
This was probably back in the era of tithing. So he would be like, come on in and pay, give me some dough for your sins, and I'll make sure the wolf doesn't kill you.
So the beasts killed their victims by tearing at their throats.
Okay.
An enormous amount of manpower and resources were used in the hunting of the animals, including the army, conscripted civilians, several nobles, and a number of royal huntsmen.
Okay.
The king had taken a personal interest in the attacks and sent professional wolf hunters with bloodhounds that had been trained in wolf hunting.
Okay.
They spent several months hunting wolves. However, the attacks continued, and the hunters were replaced by the king's harquebus bearer and lieutenant of the hunt, all in capitals.
Ooh, lieutenant of the hunt. That sounds important.
3 months thereafter, this lieutenant of the hunt, Antoine, killed a very large wolf, which was known as Le Loup de Chaz. Or possibly Le Loup de Chaz, after the nearby Abbey de Chaz.
The Wolf of Chairs? Oh, not Chaz. Chaz.
Antoine officially stated,
as every good Frenchman must begin every sentence with.
Oui, oui.
Uh-huh. And it takes a gulp of a glass of red wine at the same time, right?
Holding his baguette. Mm-hmm. We declare by the present report signed from our end, we never saw a big wolf that could be compared to this one, which is why we estimate this could be the fearsome beast that caused so much damage.
Mm-hmm.
And the animal was further identified as the culprit by attack survivors who recognized the scars on the creature's body inflicted by victims defending themselves.
Oh, yeah, that one there? Okay. I did that. Yeah, that was me. I fought back. This is definitely it. I fought back, and that big scar was me.
So did it say how big this wolf was?
80 centimeters high.
Oh, there you go.
1.7 meters long. That would be 5.5 feet and weighing 130 pounds, 60 kilograms.
So quite large.
It's dire wolf size.
Big fat wolf.
The wolf was stuffed and sent to Versailles, where Antoine was received as a hero, receiving a large number of books. I mean, a large sum of money.
Levers.
As well as titles and awards.
Then that was the end of the attacks.
However.
Oh.
A couple months later.
That was the end of the first movie.
Okay, the sequel.
Then the sequel. Yeah.
That was Jaws 1, done as a wolf.
Another beast emerged and dozens more deaths were reported.
Wow.
The killing of another wolf that eventually marked the end of the attacks was credited to a local hunter, Jean Chastel. Upon being opened, the animal's stomach was shown to contain human remains.
You know, I'm no Sherlock Holmes, but this would kind of heavily suggest there were probably two wolves in the same area, approximately the same size, kind of, you know, work on the same beat, so to speak.
And I would recommend reading, if you're interested, J.M. Smith's book, Monsters of the Gévaudan, where he brings up a lot of these points I've mentioned, and we mentioned, and also that perhaps one of the reasons it took so long was that peasants weren't allowed to have guns. during
right.
those periods.
Right.
It was the equivalent of peasants having rocket launchers today. It's a military weapon.
Yeah, that and, you know, they were kind of being mistreated at the time. And, right. oh, lo and behold, just a little bit later in that same century, there was some sort of uprising.
Yeah.
There was a little shakeup in the government in France in the late 18th century, if you didn't already know.
So the death toll on the Beast of Gévaudan differs. According to source, one of the sources estimated 210 attacks, resulting in 113 deaths and 49 injuries.
Okay, 90... that's huge.
Yeah, well, it's a three-year period.
I guess that's true. It's over 3 years.
98 of the victims killed were partially eaten.
You would hope so.
So you didn't even use the whole thing.
I know. That's a kind of seems like a shame.
Hungry like the wolf. Hungry like the wolf.
So the wolf didn't wolf down his kills.
Mm.
Well, he wolfed down parts of
them. He must have wolfed down enough of them because he was 1.7 meters long.
Yeah, I guess he wolfed down as much as he needed and then...
Like, just for record, I'm 1.7 meters high.
And this wolf was as long as you.
Yeah.
And probably thicker.
Yeah. And more of its weight in teeth.
Yeah.
Slightly hairier.
Quite a bit, yeah.
About 5% hairier.
All right, let's move to the... This is the last one I've got, is the Kirov attacks.
Okay.
1944 to 1954, a 10-year period.
Wow. In the modern era, too. Like, we're talking the 20th century. This mm-hmm. is crazy.
In all cases, the attacks occurred in the April to December period, coinciding with the wolf's cubbing season.
Oh, so April to December, there would be attacks, and then from January to April, there would be nothing.
Or very or few or none reported.
It's only 4 months where there's nothing.
Two-thirds of the year.
That's when you go for your hikes.
Yeah.
One official who investigated the incidents postulated that the wolves' daring behavior was likely explained by the complete absence of hunters or rifles in the village, as arm-bearers and firearms had been called to the Eastern Front.
Oh, okay.
And the wolf knew this how?
I think the wolf just took advantage. The wolf was going to make the attack anyway, and it just got to keep doing it for 10 years because it didn't get shot in year one.
Or it was waiting nearby in sheep's clothing, listening.
That's right. Hey.
To the reports on the radio.
My gun sense is not tingling. Let's go attack.
So this happened in 9 districts of Russia. During the war period, the number of cattle and dogs, which the wolves usually fed upon in Kirov, diminished. 200 wolf packs had been counted in the area's forests, and sightings of the wolves in the city of Kirov streets became common.
That's a crap load of wolves just like
lurking. 200
packs around your village in your little region. Wow, that's crazy. I mean, that's like thousands of wolves.
Wolves were sometimes seen sleeping in the city park in broad daylight and apparently showed no more fear of humans than feral dogs.
Maybe there was like some homeless dude out there giving him breadcrumbs or something. Kind of half blind. He's like,
Jimmy Wolf friend.
You are one big furry pigeon, aren't you?
Oh, and the vodka.
Oh, the vodka.
Highlights or lowlights, if you, depending on how which fond you are of children.
Whether you're the wolf or the child. Yeah.
3-year-old Valentina Starikova was carried off by a wolf near a riverbank while she was watching another wolf attacking a calf on the other side of the bank.
Okay, I'm going to go attack this calf. And when I do, you circle around behind that kid.
She's going to distract him by eating this.
She's going to be hypnotized by this attack.
Or they don't know who's coming. They're like, somebody will come. You'd get the looky-loos, yeah. Right? This is why people shouldn't, you know, stop and stare at car wrecks on the side of the road.
A few hours later, a part of her leg was found in a nearby forest.
So they found the rest of her then?
No.
I don't want kids of my own, but I mean, this is horrible.
Although the thing I got to kind of point my finger at the parents here. If you've got 200 wolf packs in the forest around your village, what the hell
town.
Are you doing letting your 3-year-old wander by the riverbank where they're eating
Well, you have
cattle?
To remember this is the time. Well, it was only in the 50s, but this was a time when you had, well, probably in Russia, you had like 20 kids. What's
Maybe.
One or two here or there?
Well, that's a pretty small-minded attitude. You need them to grow up so they can send them to the front as cannon fodder.
Who would even leave their 3-year-old by a riverbank? Ignore the wolves.
Yeah, take the wolves out of the equation.
It's a river.
It's probably flowing.
Like these days, you don't leave your 3-year-old near the tub
Joe,
on its own.
Most rivers are full of water, which could be a hazard to 3-year-olds. Absolutely. Take wolves out of the equation. And it's still a bad idea.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm agreeing with you 100%.
Yeah. That doesn't happen very often.
All right. So the Russians, not great raisers of children, evidently.
Not great fearers of rivers.
Or wolves.
Or maybe they're just so damn tough. They're like, it's 3 years old. Of course you can handle wolf.
Wolf and river. It drum wolf in river.
That child was weak compared to most Russian children.
Yeah.
In a village in the Alexandrovsk locality, wolves attacked and dismembered an 8-year-old girl in broad daylight.
Again,
an 8-year-old.
It should have been able to handle tools.
2 days later, at 11 a.m. in the Beretsovsky settlement, a 14-year-old postwoman was bitten to death by 9 wolves.
Okay, now we're talking 14.
Well, 14, but 9 wolves is a lot.
I mean, this just goes to show you, right? Like, dogs don't like mail carriers. This is just a logical extension of that.
So what's the age equation? Like, how many wolves per year old you are can you handle
for
in Russia?
For Russians? For Russian, very high.
If you can't handle 1 wolf when you're 3, then presumably you should.
You can't handle 9 when you're 14?
It's about half your age. Yeah. So 3-year-old, 1.5 wolves, no problem.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
That one was weak, only was killed by 1. 14-year-old can handle 7. So,
but
nine,
there was 2 more, yeah.
Two more can't handle.
Too much.
Non-Russians, 1/4, 1/8,
yeah,
maybe.
I like the fact that this 14-year-old was like the town's mail carrier.
Well, sure.
Of every able-bodied man is on the on the Western Front.
A 5-year-old was grabbed by a wolf while washing rubber boots with a friend in a stream. A rescue party discovered the girl's body 500 meters away with a throat bite and a partially eaten leg. Near the village of the Rusinovsky district, 2 wolves attacked a girl and her mother treading linen on a field. The mother managed to repel an attack against her with a sheaf.
A gathering of wheat? Isn't that what a sheaf is? Yeah, a bundle of grain stalks.
Though her daughter was caught, a blood trail led to some thick juniper bushes where Anna was found with a wounded throat and some of flesh of her stomach eaten.
Definitely the throat is the wolf's kill shot.
It's the go-to.
You probably take out the throat and then wait a little while.
Yeah.
Get away from all those thrashing hands. And if it's another kind of animal, hooves and teeth, and let it die and then go back and eat some stomach.
So the death toll, 22 children. Between the ages of 3 to 17 years total.
Wow. And it's mostly women and children because at this point, they're off at the war. Yeah. All the men are off at the war, yeah.
Well, they could have caught some old guys. You think an old guy or two would have gotten caught up in it,
yeah,
right?
But they're all chewy and stringy.
Yeah. They're not as fleshy.
Probably mostly stuck indoors. Like, not going to go out in the cold.
It's the 50s Russia.
Send the kids out.
Everyone's working on Sputnik.
Yeah. I guess there are pogroms. Yeah. There are always pogroms, too.
Pogroms?
Yeah, maybe these wolves were in the employ of Stalin, and these were political undesirables.
Oh, I don't know what a pogrom is.
It's a massacre of an ethnic group.
Yeah.
See, I've learned something now.
Oh, nice.
And I thought it was going to be a waste of time.
I learned about wolves and their lock cocks, and you've learned about Stalin and his pogroms.
Thank you, Caustic Soda.
Public service announcement.
How to outwit a pack of wolves.
Okay, this sounds like useful information.
This comes from the worst case scenario handbook. Slowly move to solid terrain. In winter, wolves tend to chase their prey into deep snow or onto frozen lakes, surfaces where the hooves of the victim sink or slide.
Also, get rid of your hooves.
Take your hoof shoes off.
Yeah, dump your hooves as you're going.
If you see wolves around you, slowly walk towards solid ground. Do not crouch down and do not run.
Right, because they'll chase you down.
I can attest to this. I was, when I was young, I was about 14 or maybe 15 years old. Some friends who lived fairly close to me had a large field and some horses and things like that. Uh-huh. And they had a German Shepherd cross. Like, it was very wolf-like, this dog.
Okay, yeah.
I was over visiting because I would go over and check out, like, hang out with their horses. And, you know, they had horses. I was a kid. I was like, ooh, cool. Yeah. And their dog had puppies recently. Mm-hmm. I'm very pro dog. I like dogs a lot. And I went over to see it and it growled at me. And I didn't realize it had puppies in the bushes.
Right.
And I went, oh, okay, I better back away. And as I backed away, it kind of threatened me. It came forward.
Right.
And I freaked out and turned and ran. And as soon as I ran, it went from threatening to attacking.
Yeah, of course.
And it chased me down and it bit the back of my leg, went through my jeans.
Yeah.
And I just kept running.
Yeah.
And it finally stopped and I got away. And I had a huge bite mark in the back, like not chunk of my skin out.
Yeah.
But you could see, like, most of the teeth had bitten through my jeans and I had a scar there.
Yeah, because that's that instinct, right? It's like, as soon as you turn tail, it attacks no matter
what. It's like, oh, good, now you can't attack me. Yeah.
That's right. When I'm just looking at your ass, there's nothing that you can do to endanger me. Right, right.
But I went back the next day and it was friendly to me. Right. So it was just the kid's thing.
It was psychotic.
Well, that's what happens when you become a mother, right?
The hormones. And it's worth pointing out, you cannot outrun a wolf.
Well, we did talk earlier about how they can run up to 35 kilometers an hour, which
miles an hour.
A little faster than
35 miles an hour, even better.
Observe the wolf's posture. A tail straight up in the air and ears pricked up are a signal of dominance and often indicate that the wolf is preparing to attack.
Okay.
Charge one member of the pack.
It's like prison. You just like take the first person down and like, prove you're a tough guy.
Wolves are generally timid around humans and have a strong flight response. Running toward one wolf while yelling may scare it and the other members of the pack away from you.
Right. So when one of the wolves flees, the other wolves are kind of like, oh, snap. What does that guy know that we don't know? Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, running towards the pack may get you surrounded by it.
No, I think it started out with, if you find yourself surrounded by a pack,
This
is what you should do.
Nope.
Oh, really?
I just said, watch your positioning.
That's both the benefit and the negative of running in a pack. Right? When one of them attacks something, the rest of them jump on and attack too. That's the bad part for the person being attacked.
It's mob mentality.
Mob mentality. The good part is, if you can get one of them to run, odds are the rest of them will run too.
Yeah.
There's two sides to that coin.
If the wolves continue with an attack, throw sticks and rocks at those closest to you. Wolves tend to attack the lower portions of their victims' bodies in an attempt to hobble and then bring them to the ground.
So they can get your neck.
Hmm. Yeah.
That, or if you throw a stick, the dog part of it might kick in. Sorry. It might fetch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it keeps coming back to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I guess that's when it doesn't, it's not going to go away.
But I guess in between each stick throw, you can gain some distance back to the.
And I would rather get stuck in a game of fetch than get stuck with him eating my throat.
I think that's the lesser of two evils.
I think the odds of it actually engaging in fetch are quite small.
Kick or hit the wolves as they approach your legs until you scare them off.
I didn't need the book to tell me that one. Mm. That was the one that I probably would have come to.
Don't
my
lie
conclusion.
Down and pray.
Yeah, don't play dead. This is not a play dead situation.
Well, I think a big thing to remember is, like, you're going to have to cause damage. You're not going to be able to hold it. Like, you're not going to put your hands in the way and, oh no, it's jumping, I'll block it and then maybe it'll go away. You have to strike it. You have to
boot it.
Captive wolves are more likely to attack a human than wolves in the wild. Be aware of that.
Oh, okay.
Attacks are often a dominance display.
Or they've learned to hate humans because they've captivated
that's
them.
That's true.
Or they're, like, they're just not as scared by how different humans are.
They're not intimidated by humans because they see them all the time because they're captive.
Those guys, we could totally eat them.
Wolves may hunt at any hour of the day or night. The bite pressure of an adult wolf is about 1,500 pounds per square inch compared to a German Shepherd, about 500 pounds.
Wow.
Per square inch.
Wow. Three times. Wow.
And there are a few videos I looked up on YouTube of wolves attacking, like, bison and moose and stuff like that. So if you want to get a sense of how they cooperate and so forth.
And how totally
horrible
screwed
and awesome
you would be.
Yeah.
They are taking down buffalo. Bison weigh what? Like a ton?
But they're 50% less fat than beef.
3,800 pounds. A ton and a half.
Wow. That's big.
Fat bison.
No, 50% less fat.
Oh. Those big muscly bison.
I think they're both, aren't it's, they?
The thing about people is, though, there's a lot less hair to get through. Right. We're pretty much ready to eat.
we're fast food for wolves, like the McDonald's drive-through.
But there's not a lot of like actual mass on a human being, right?
Yeah,
like,
which is why
it compares to a buffalo, right? Like a buffalo looks like skeleton, and then just huge thing of meat all around it.
Yeah, but we've got ice cream in our tummies.
That's true. That is totally true.
It's like you have to eat your way through to dessert.
But if you keep us alive, we'll give you even more ice cream.
Yeah, which Torn would be willing to do in a heartbeat if he thought he could get more ice cream out of the deal.
Chew
right through your abdomen to get to the ice cream.
There's ice cream in my tummy.
No, it's like when you see somebody take the last slice of ice cream cake and when it was your birthday or something and you're so enraged. You're like, I'm getting that last piece of ice cream cake, whether you like it or not.
I need that grapefruit spoon.
Yeah. that melon baller.
I'm going in.
Thankfully, society's made it much easier to go get your own damn ice cream cake than it is to kill somebody and eat it out of their stomach.
But that requires going outside.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Okay.
Pop culture?
Pop goes the culture.
Brotherhood of the Wolf is based on the Beast of Gévaudan.
Yeah, except like the conclusion is that they're werewolves, right?
No. Didn't you see it?
Yeah, it's a Brotherhood of the Wolf.
No werewolves, friend. That's what they want you to think.
Oh.
Spoiler alert from a movie from 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that I keep having to watch. And I'm like, oh, I should totally watch that. I hear it's really good. And then I just don't.
It's not great.
Oh.
It's the one with the Indian guy and the French guy. And like, there's all the kung fu flying through the air action.
All the characters are historically based except for the Iroquois.
Yeah, there's that whole like final sequence at the end where there's like in the graveyard and the guy is like a werewolf, isn't he? Am I remembering this incorrectly? Do I have false memory syndrome?
You might. The beast was the offspring of a strange beast that one of the characters brought back from Africa.
Okay.
Which the director insists is a lion. Now, in the Beast of Gévaudan mythology, there's a lot of talk about it being a hyena, which is pretty much bunk.
Right.
But there's a bunch of kind of false clues. Like they find like metal teeth and stuff like that. And
it's kind of like a Hounds of the Baskervilles sort of like style mystery with kung fu thrown in. I actually thought the fact that you have, you know, revolutionary era France and you threw in some like high flying, like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon style
martial
kung fu.
Arts from the Iroquois.
You've got an Iroquois warrior doing like,
and that was like the first scene
doing this massive, like,
so you know
high
what
flying
you're in for.
Kung fu. So it was like, it was a genre masher. And I always appreciate that when people are trying to give something new a chance. So I kind of like liked it on an aesthetic level, but yeah, it wasn't a particularly like satisfying movie. It felt like, like ice cream cake rather than, you know, full meal.
Back to the ice cream cake.
I'm trying to create full circle here.
Are we going to Dairy Queen after this?
I got a feeling.
Two Towers.
Uh-huh.
The Wargs.
Oh, yeah. The Warg Riders and the Wargs.
Uh-huh.
Which are basically translated into dire wolves in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
Right.
But in Norse mythology, a Vargr, often anglicized as warg or varg, is a wolf, and in particular refers to the wolf Fenrir and his sons Skull and Hati. So Tolkien used the Old English form warg to refer to a wolf-like creature of a particularly evil kind.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of look more like feral pit bulls, really.
In the movie.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had that weird pushed-in face, yeah.
Yeah, like when I saw them, you just don't sit there and go, oh, wolf.
Yeah, it's like dog monster.
Yeah, yeah.
I also watched a movie called Frozen last night.
Frozen.
Oh, okay.
This was from 2010, so...
Also relatively recent.
American kind of horror thriller kind of a thing. It's basically about... not even basically. It is about three skiers who are all people that you don't care about.
Oh, and they get trapped on the
lift. They get stuck on the lift.
I did hear about this. And it had one of the Ashmore brothers in it, right? One of the Canadian actors.
Sean Ashmore, yeah.
Yeah, nobody actually gets frozen to death.
Right.
Well, they get cold.
They get pretty cold up there.
There is a little bit of frostbite, which I don't think is scientifically accurate how they portray it, but I could be wrong. I'm not an expert.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, the person who wrote it probably isn't either.
You can get a sense from what Caustic Soda episode it's being mentioned in, what happens in it, at least one of the characters.
There's a wolf involved in some way, shape, or form. I got it. Okay, that's good.
And that's probably the best part of the movie.
The wolf part.
I will go ahead and talk about this particular scene. It doesn't necessarily spoil the movie, but one of the characters says, I'm just going to jump off.
Mm-hmm.
Falls 30
falls
feet.
Falls his... into the open mouth of a wolf. Oh.
No, he falls and his bones jut through his legs.
Oh.
As they break.
Oh.
What?
And a very graphic and disgusting. Well, it's hard pack. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, I guess it's just too high. And the snow is just too hard. And his legs are, he's been not drinking his milk.
Yeah. Okay.
So then he's just kind of sitting there and being mopey. And
it certainly would convince the other people to not jump off of the thing.
And shortly thereafter, and then he gets torn apart by wolves.
Oh, I see.
Nice.
It's pretty sweet.
My favorite part is that Sean Ashmore was in a movie called Frozen, and in X-Men, he played Iceman. That was my Kevin joke and delivery.
Uh-huh. Nice job. Well done.
So Frozen, not great.
It was kind of like open water for ski hills.
Yes. In fact, very similar both in vibe and just kind of general acting levels
and tone
and how much you care about the characters.
Right.
And,
actually, I didn't mind open water.
You're just kind of waiting for something to happen most of the movie. Yeah.
That's the problem about being the second one in sort of like a concept movie like that. It's sort of like people saw the first one and kind of like, oh, are you going to do something different with it? Oh, no, you're not. You're going to do the exact same thing, basically.
Anybody have any other wolfy movies they want to talk about?
How about Never Cry Wolf? Based on the Farley Mowat book of the same name.
Does someone get attacked by a wolf?
He goes and lives with the wolves.
Does he get attacked by the wolves?
No. He like...
Does anyone die from wolf bites? Is there any wolf attacking people?
One of the things that he's trying to study, he's trying to figure out how these wolves, with such a scarcity of food, how they survive.
Okay.
They're surviving on mice.
Mm-hmm.
Then they didn't think that there would be enough mice to actually keep this pack of wolves, you know, through the winter and whatever. And so then when he starts to identify with them, it's kind of like Dance with Wolves.
Okay.
He sort of becomes a little feral, and there's a part where he wants to kind of, you know, commune with the wolves. So he starts eating these mice with them.
Wow. What a kook.
It's very kooky. Okay. It's a great movie though. I love that movie. It's, you know, there aren't really all that many humans in it.
But it's not Grizzly Man with wolves.
No, it's not Grizzly Man with wolves.
Okay, well, that's disappointing.
Yeah, it's kind of a positive. It's the opposite of what we're talking about right now. It's about he goes out there and learns that wolves are not savage, ruthless killers who will just hunt you down and tear your throat out.
And I think that's important to say. I like wolves.
Yeah.
You're pro-wolf.
I'm pro-wolf.
Yeah, I'm very much a dog person, so that makes me kind of a wolf person.
Wolves are losing their habitat, and they've been recently reintroduced to Yellowstone Park, and they've been studying all that stuff. So it's a bunch of conservation stuff we could talk about, but this is caustic soda.
Yeah.
You have to understand that we're cool guys who just happen to focus on gory, horrible things.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Do we want to mention the scene in 300?
Yeah, at the very beginning when he's talking about the young king going out to prove his worth.
Yeah, those are cool looking wolves.
Fights against the
I hated wolf. That CG.
Oh, I liked it.
Right off the top of the movie, I was like, oh no.
I like the glowy red eyes.
Is this
going
to be the rest of the movie?
Yeah, I liked it.
Ugh. I thought it was very artistic.
But I should also point out that I had not read
the graphic novel.
Graphic novel. And the movie was very faithful to the graphic novel. So had I read that and seen the way that Frank Miller had drawn that wolf, I'd have said, oh, that's very faithful. But I still don't like it.
You
like
the bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
So you would have liked that depiction of a wolf, or you would have, I would guess.
If I'd known that it was a cartoon.
Right.
If it had been less cartoony in the movie.
Or more cartoony. It kind of was like that weird bounce where it's like realistic but with cartoony elements.
Yeah. Another thing to remember is every single thing in 300 is actually a story being told.
Meaning?
It's all related.
What's his name? Is it Dilios, I think, is the character that ends up surviving? Kind of spoiler alert.
What's the dealios?
The guy, he's got one bad eye.
Patch, yeah.
And when they do the final attack, he's like, no, you have to go tell everybody. Throughout the entire movie, he's recounting this story.
Yeah.
And then you find out at the end who he's recounting it to, which is all the other Spartans who finally showed up. So he's telling a story and he's blowing it out of proportion.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
See.
So that's why all the attacks are like outrageous and over the top. The Persians all seem so non-human.
Right.
Yeah, he's like trying to whip this army into a frenzy. And he's like talking about how amazing and heroic and honorable the 300 Spartans were. And he's trying to tell them how evil the people they fought were.
Yeah.
When he talks about the King Leonidas and becoming a man, he plays up how horrible and alien and big and evil the wolf was.
Yeah, they all become folktales, right?
So 300 is a story being told in a movie, which is a story being told. So it's a story within a story, the entire thing. And you don't know until that very last scene that's what's going on.
But I had walked out way before that.
Yeah. But if you watch that story again and understand, oh, this is a larger-than-life story being told, then I think a lot of those things that people complain about 300 should be forgiven.
The one thing I did like about 300, and it was precious few things I liked about 300,
yeah,
was the fact that this is a movie in a time where a lot of the combat and action in movies is just shaky camera
right.
and yeah. quick cuts, whereas 300 showed you exactly who was stabbing who and yeah. what.
And the hyper-slow-mo.
And what happens and after that.
The ramping up and ramping down and ramping up. So it, like, mm-hmm. become ultra-clear.
Yeah, you knew exactly what was happening yeah. in the scene.
Well, you even have those points where, like, the weapons would have tracers. So you could actually see, like, where the yeah. spears and the arrows are going, right?
Yeah.
I did appreciate that as a storytelling.
When you shoot, like, about a third of the movie in, like, hyper-slow-mo, that's how you turn, you know, this into, like, an 84-minute movie instead of, like, a 54-minute yeah. movie, right?
Word.
Isn't there a Johnny Quest episode with wolves in
there
it?
There is. It's called Werewolf of the Timberland. Now, this mm-hmm. is not the werewolf episode of Caustic Soda. This is real wolves attacking people.
Right.
And that is pretty much exactly what happens to the bad guys at the end of the Johnny Quest episode. Johnny Quest, as almost everyone will know, is like a 70s cartoon series where people
yeah.
die.
Yeah.
There's a lot of death. Yeah. They don't show it on screen, but there's people falling into crocodile pits, people getting killed by bulldozers off screen, and giant monsters smashing boats, and mm-hmm. all these people are never heard from again.
I always just found it weird, like all their hair just looked so fake. They all look like they're wearing wigs and helmets, toupees yeah. and helmets, right? Like that was the thing that I found so disconcerting about that cartoon more than anything else. Like they all seemed so unreal.
Very limited animation.
Yeah.
Do we have to move that hair? No. Okay, let's not move yeah, that hair.
Just draw it solid.
So in this episode, there's some lumberjacks who are like smuggling things through hollowed out logs.
Okay.
Clever.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There's a native whose name is Whitefeather, and he has a wolf companion called Gray One.
Okay.
And in the end of the movie episode, Gray One attacks the bad guys who are dressed up like a werewolf.
Oh,
to kind of scare
okay.
them, kind of Scooby-Doo-esque.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo, right. I was just going to say.
Right. Yeah. To keep them at bay from discovering their smuggling scheme.
Exactly.
If it wasn't for those meddling kids.
Now, I'm a big fan of, in the comics, ElfQuest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mike was a big fan of ElfQuest back in the day, too.
I
really
enjoyed
it. One of the most gay
It was very homoerotic.
Ever made.
Yeah.
This comes from my gay friends.
It's very homoerotic.
If you look at the pictures.
No. I'm not saying there's not overtones, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember any actual specific gay stuff in there. And I mean, very much.
There's a lot of vests and wolves with elves with big eyes and their Ricardo Montalban-esque chests jutting through their vests and whatnot.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a good time.
I just saw that more as both sexes are sexualized.
Mm. Right.
As opposed to gay. And again, not that there's anything wrong with that. And
no.
there might be in later books that I've actually read, the elves seem very androgynous. So that's certainly true. And I don't know, maybe I just didn't pick up on it when I was younger and read it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But in it, there are different kind of tribes of elves on this world. They've all come from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
One of the tribes, the Wolf Riders, became very good friends, I guess you could say, with the wolves of this world living in a forest. And they ended up becoming their wolf riders. They
right.
all have
allies.
Yeah, and the elves
and
all have
very intimate relations with those wolves.
Well, it's kind of hinted at. The elves can all communicate with telepathy, basically. I can't remember what they call it now. And the wolf riders can actually use that with their wolf companions.
Probably like the right. moon thinking or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can read all of the comics on ElfQuest website. They're all available
really?
Free.
I guess they figured they've had the run. Whoa. Wow, that was a howling wolf. Was actually the intro to the website.
It's elfquest.com. You're going to have to skip the front page. It's about a 10-year-old website, it looks like.
When you use the mouse, it's a little fairy.
That's quite funny.
That animates.
But I certainly think that people who, if you're interested in like elves and wolves and some pretty good storytelling, certainly worth reading online for free.
What else are you doing that's so important?
Yeah, come on.
Lastly, I've got the Fenris Wolf from Marvel Comics.
Okay.
I don't remember him.
What kind of bad guy was it?
Oh, he was one of the characters in the Thor mythology.
Oh, right,
adapted
of course.
Adapted from Norse legends by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
And it was prophesied that when Ragnarok occurred, Fenris will devour Odin.
Yeah, okay.
He's just been in a bunch of comics. There's nothing really
but what has he
super
been?
Remarkable, except he's usually portrayed as like just kind of this giant wolf.
Giant, yeah, well, like Earth/Odin devouring size wolf. Well, what about the boy who cried wolf? Somebody gets eaten by a wolf in that one, I'm sure.
I think the boy does. That would certainly be the boys like wolf, wolf, and then
some. That would certainly come be and some comeuppance. Yeah,
and then wolf, wolf, and people come and he laughs, and then wolf, wolf, and then he gets eaten, and then that's the end of the story. And
yeah,
think about that, boys.
It's a morality tale. Don't lie, because sometime it might be true, and we won't believe you.
And so when he needs their help, they're not there because they're like, he's lying again, and then he gets eaten by the wolf, right?
And if you keep lying, we may find a wolf to eat you.
Yeah. We might sick a wolf on you.
Because we're fucking sick of your bullshit.
It's a great example of, it's a great way to communicate why we're good to each other. Why we don't lie.
Yeah.
Because it's good for you
yeah.
if you don't lie to other people.
Yeah. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Double win. All the way. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Say, Axe Handle, recording the Horse Track Hooligans program really leaves my throat raw and irritated.
I've got just the thing for that. The Caustic Soda Radio Hour, a richer, bolder, more pleasing podcast.
Say, is that the one with the unfiltered, full-bodied recording by Mr. Mike Leeson Esquire?
Say, it sure is.
Now, can I find that at my local pharmacy or dry goods store?
You'll only find a barrel of crackers or plug tobacco there. No, Caustic Soda can be found at causticsodapodcast.com.
Will there be Gibson girls there?
Heck no, but you could find videos, pictures, links, and even Caustic Soda ringtones for your wireless set.
That sounds great. Say, how much is this gonna cost me?
That's just it, Flatcap. Caustic Soda is free to download. But if you like what you hear, feel free to make a donation.
Yeah, a few spondulics will keep the gas lights on and the laughs at full gallop.
And if you don't agree that Caustic Soda is the richer, smoother, more pleasing podcast, send your questions and comments to info@causticsodapodcast.com and rate and review them on iTunes.
Caustic Soda Podcast, a superlative blend of science and comedy with almost no polio.
And now the white-tailed ptarmigan.